Okay, everybody. Today's daf is Yuma Daf Nun Beis, and we're here at the top of Nun Beis Amud Aleph on the first line. But we are in the middle of a little discussion. I did stop a little short yesterday. Basically, we had three opinions yesterday on Nun Aleph Amud Beis as to the Kohen Gadol's path on Yom Kippur. Rabbi Yehuda had said he walked between the Mizbeach Hazav and the Menorah. The Rabbi Meir said he walked between the Mizbeach Hazav and the Shulchan. And then the third opinion, which we said was Rabbi Yossi, is that he walked between the Shulchan and the wall, meaning and the northern wall in the Kodesh. So the Gemara wanted to know who does Rabbi Yossi hold like? Who does Rabbi Meir hold like? Meaning, if he held like Rabbi Yehuda, meaning that again, the machlokas was the machlokas that they quoted afterwards was that Rabbi Yossi said that the opening to the Heichal, we should mention as well, the opening to the Kodesh Kodashim rather was on the north, and the opening according to Rabbi Yehuda, the opening to the Kodesh Kodashim was on the south. Now, who did Rabbi Meir hold like? That was what Rabbi Meir who said that he walks between the Shulchan and the Mizbeach, the Shulchan being in the north of the Heichal, and the Mizbeach being in the middle. So who did he hold like? Meaning, if he holds like Rabbi Yehuda, so why didn't he walk down between the Mizbeach and the Menorah? If he held like Rabbi Yossi, that the entrance was on the north, so then why didn't he just walk like Rabbi Yossi, i.e. between the wall and the Shulchan? So he had said that two possible answers. Either the first answer is that the Shulchanos that Shlomo built around the Shulchan impeded any passage between the Shulchan and the wall, and therefore he couldn't walk from between the Shulchan and the wall, according to Rabbi Meir. Or another answer was that really the Shulchanos that Shlomo built did not impede his progress, but the last thing we said was Lav Orech Ara Lamayel Lehedya. Right, it wasn't appropriate for the Kohen Gadol just to walk straight through, right? To be looking straight into the Kodesh Kodashim the entire time. Right, it's much more kavodik for him to look and kind of come at an angle and then all of a sudden like show up at the entrance, right? Not straight away. So now the Gemara goes back on the first line and says, "Rabbi Yossi, I'm in the Chal. What would Rabbi Yossi say to you?" Meaning again, Rabbi Yossi, if you're telling me it's not nice for the Kohen Gadol to walk straight into the Kodesh Kodashim, right, staring at it from a good distance away, right, if that's not appropriate, so what is Rabbi Yossi shita? Rabbi Yossi said he did exactly that, right? He hugged the wall and he walked between the Shulchan and the northern wall, right, straight through the entrance into the Kodesh Kodashim. So Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yossi would say to you, what would his shita be? Right, Chaviv in Yisrael, Shalom Tzuchu Akasav L'Shliach. Right, in a Chanami, it's kind of like you own the place, you walk wherever you want. But on Yom Kippur, right, Baruch Hashem, right, that this is a Kodesh Baruch Hu, right, he loves us in Yom Kippur, right, Hashem did not bother him. Hashem did not bother us, and so Baruch Hashem, the Kohen Gadol is welcome, long story short, to walk around as if kind of he's comfortable there. Okay, for Rabbi Yehuda, also according to Rabbi Yehuda Shita, Nail Bein Menorah Lakotel. Well, Rabbi Yehuda had said, again, if you remember, there were two Shitas in terms of if he walks towards the north, if the entrance is in the north, so then there are two Shitas. Either he should walk between the Mizbeach Hazav and the Shulchan, because it's not nice to walk straight into the Kodesh Kodashim, or you could walk straight along the wall, right, and then go in through the north. But according to Rabbi Yehuda, who said that the entrance is on the south, so there's only one opinion, right, that he should walk between the Mizbeach and the Menorah, and then go in through the entrance. Well, why doesn't Rabbi Yehuda say that you should walk along the southern wall and walk straight through? Right, Rabbi Yehuda nami nail by Menorah Lakotel. Right, why doesn't he walk straight through if that's if the Kohen Gadol after all is welcome in the Kodesh Kodashim on today? So the Gemara says because Mishkuri Mane, because the clothing of the Kohen Gadol, again, he's wearing the white Big Day Kahuna, was Mishkuri, would be blackened, would be made dark, right? Because what do you have there, right? The menorah, right? Mistama, there was soot on the wall, right? Behind the menorah, and just practically, right? When you burn something, right? The smoke, right? There's must have, the wall behind him was pretty dirty. So if you walk between the menorah and the wall, sure, there's a chance that his Big Day Lavan would get dirty, and that would be a big problem. Okay. Fine. Amar Rabbi Nosson. Rabbi Nosson says, "Amatrux and Loi Chriu Bo Chachamim Ikalifnim Ikalichutz." Now, if you remember, we said yesterday that in the first Beis Hamikdash there was a full one amma thick wall between the Kodesh, between the Heichal and the Kodesh Kodashim. In the second Beis Hamikdash, that we had a machlokes, right? Whether there was one paroches or two, and if there was two, they were each set up on either sides of an amma thick empty space. And that is what the Gemara is saying right now. That according to Rabbi Nosson, the traksin, this amma, the wall between between the Kodesh and the Kodesh Kodashim, so the Chachamim did not make a psak, right? They didn't know whether it was like Kalifnim, like the Kodesh Kodashim, or Kalichutz, or like the Kodesh. So the Gemara says, originally the Gemara understands that the question is not that of Kedusha, right, but that of just measurements, just size, meaning when you calculate the size of the Heichal or the Kodesh Kodashim, right? Originally, the Gemara assumes that Rabbi Nosson is talking about the calculations, and he didn't know which, you know, in terms of which calculation you take the wall, the Amma thickness of the wall. So, Maskevla Ravina, Ravina asked the following question: at my time, why are we confused whether like it's like the inside or the outside? So, 60 amma long and 20 amma wide and 30 amma tall. Right, the pasuk says, "Varbaim ba'amma haya habayis hu ha'ichal lefanai." Right, the heichal was 40 ammas. The pasuk says, "Vilefnai hadavar." And the Kodesh Kodashim was 20 amos, right? If the question is like this, meaning if the Heichal is 40 amos and the Kodesh Kodashim is 20 amos, and if you tell me the question of Rabbi Nosson was, he wasn't sure whether the amma thickness of the wall was included in the 40 or included in the 20, well, Doma lo mahani esrim lo mahani arbaim, right? Maybe it's in neither. Right, maybe chalala kachashiv, loka chashiv. Right, and maybe the wall is in neither of them, and simply those pesukim are chalala kachashiv. They're talking about the empty space in the kodesh and the kodesh kadashim, but the coastal, the wall is loka chashiv. Maybe the pasuk is not including the amma thickness in the wall, and it's saying 20 and 40, but irrespective of the walls. And Tate, I'll prove to you that that's true. Right, any time you have a concern in terms of the measurements of the wall, they're counted separately. Like we learned in the Mishnah, mea al mea, bro mea. The Heichal itself, meaning the building, the Heichal building, not the Heichal, but the Heichal building, was 100 amos long. Again, that's the important part for us. It was 100 by 100 by 100, but really, for us, its purposes, it was 100 amos long. Kotel Ulam Chamesh, the wall of the Ulam was 5, Ulam Achadisrei, right, the Ulam was 11, Kotel Heichal Shesh, the wall of the Heichal was 6 amos, Ve'arko Arbaim, and it was, the Heichal itself was 40 length, Arbaim Amma, Ve'amatraxin, and there's one Amma in the wall itself, right, between the Kodesh and the Kodesh Kodashim, Ve'chaf Amma, and there were 60 amos, base Kodesh Kodashim, right, that was 60 amos long, right, that was 20 amos long, the Kodesh Kodashim, Kotel Heichal Shesh, the wall of the Heichal was 6 amos long, Ve'ata Shesh, right, the extra space was also 6 amos, and then there was a 5 amma wall. Right, so you see that the psukim, right, count the walls, right, the thickness, right, in the measurements, right? If you do all the math, right, add up all of those numbers, right, including the thicknesses of the walls, then you get to 100 amos. Right, but you see, anytime we list the walls, right, they're not included in the Heichal of the Kodesh Kodashim. It says, Ela Kedusha say, no, the question is of Rabbi Nosson is not whether the calculations are within the Kodesh of the Heichal or the Kodesh Kadashim, but rather it's talking about the Kedusha. Right? Right? Is it considered to be the Kodesh or is it considered to be the Kodesh Kadashim? Obviously, big nafkamina, can a regular Kohen go in there? Right? Rabbi Yochanan, this is what Rabbi Yochanan said. Boy, Yosef Ish Hutzal. Yosef, as we'll see, had many names, but Yosef Ish Hutzal, a man of Hutzal, asked the following question. Pnima Heichan. Sorry, keeps on going. Dvir Pesach Abayis Mipnima Heichan, the Titein Shabbos Aron Bris Hashem. Right, he had a space or a wall within the Kodesh, within the Kodesh Kadashim. Sorry, differentiating between the Kodesh and the Kodesh Kadashim, but literally the pasuk means he had a wall inside the house. Right, Mipnima on the inside. Right, Heichin, it was prepared. The Titein Sham, right, it's Aron Bris Hashem. Right, to put the Aron. So, by the way, the question was, Heichin Kamakra. What does the pasuk mean? Right, Dvir Pesach Abayis. Meaning, does it mean that the dvir, that the wall, the space, the partition, right, was inside the house, right, inside the base of Mikdash? Does that mean mipnima heichin the tzitin sham, right? And it's inside to prepare something inside of it, i.e., that it's not included in the inside, not included in the Kodesh Kadashim? Oh, del mahavik amar, maybe it means dvir b'soch habayis mipnima. Really, the wall was on the inside, right? So, how do you read that? So, meaning that pasuk, right? It's not clear where you put the comma. Right, so the Gemara says, "Mimi Sakale." One second. Did Yosef really have a shaila what this pasuk means? V'atanya, right, without the Rabbeisa, Isi ben Yehuda Omer. Isi ben Yehuda says, and you're going to see that this is the same person. Yosef Ishutzal and Isi ben Yehuda, the same person. We'll see in a second. But either way, Isi had a following shaila. Chamesh mikros b'Torah ein lahem echreya. There are five psukim in the Torah that have no no psak. We cannot figure out what exactly they mean, because it could go either way. Now, just to, before we explain all of those five cases, right, the question is going to be, there are only these five cases and not the pasuk that we just quoted. Right, the pasuk we just quoted, right, about where the inside, where this wall was between the Kodesh Kodashim and the Kodesh. There are five psukim that he was unclear about, but implying that he wasn't unclear about the pasuk we just read. Just to explain what the five psukim are, the Gemara says, Se'es Mishukadim, Machar, Arur, and Kam. What is that? So those are five psukim where those words can belong either to the beginning of the pasuk or to the end of the pasuk. Se'es is when Hashem is talking to Cain. And the pasuk says, V'yamar Hashem al Cain, Lama Chara Lecha, V'lama Nafu Fanecha. Why are you so upset? Right after Cain said, that after Akash Poch cursed him after killing Hevel, said, why are you so upset? And this is the puzzle that's important. Hello, imtetiv se'es, v'im lo tetiv lapesa chatas roveitz. Right, if you do better, hello, imtetiv, behold, if you do better, se'es. Right, and the word se'es can be interpreted one of two ways. We'll explain in a second. V'im lo tetiv lapesa chatas roveitz, and if you don't improve, so then the sin rests at the door. So again, either se'es means you're forgiven, right? Hello, imtetiv. If you do better, se'es, then your sins will be carried, your sins will be forgiven. Or you could read it as vim lo se'tiv, right? Meaning se'es, right? If imtetiv, what's it called? Se'es vim lo se'tiv, right? Meaning that if you do better, you'll be fine. But if you improve yourself, meaning if you improve, you stop sinning, if you stop killing people, right? But if you don't, so then se'es v'lo se'tiv l'fezeh chatz roveitz. If you don't improve, then se'es, then you'll carry your sins with you. Meaning either the sins will be carried, i.e. by Gosh Baruch Hu, and therefore will be wiped out, or you yourself will carry the sins. That's pasuk number one. Meshuka din, what does that mean? That's a pasuk by the menorah. And the question is whether it says uva menorah arba'a kiviyim meshuka din kaftorei al-fracheh. Right, there are four cups, right? Meshuka din, like almonds, kaftor afracha, right? The kaftor, the knobs, and the flowers. And the question is, right? Which was engraved? Right? Is that talking about the cups, the gviim, right? The word before mishukadim, or the kaftor or the knobs, right? And or the fracha and the flowers afterwards. Meaning, which one? Which does mishukadim go on the word before or the word after? The third pasuk is here is arur, and that is talking about Amalek. What did I skip the word? Yeah, machar. Meaning, when Moshe said to Yoshua by Amalek in the end of Parshas B'Shalach, V'yomer Moshe al Yoshua b'chor lanu anashim v'tzehi v'lachem ba'amalek, machar anuchi nitzav al rosh ha'givah v'ma'atei elokim b'yadi. Right, go choose for you some men, right, go fight a battle with Amalek tomorrow, right, and that's the word is, are you going to fight Amalek tomorrow, or is it tomorrow I will go up on the rush of the mountain, right, and then take the staff with me? Meaning, are you taking the fight to Amalek Machar, or is tomorrow the day that I'm going up on the hill? Right, okay, fine. That's Machar. Arur is by Shimon and Levi. Is when Yaakov says, Shimon and Levi Achim, Klei Chamas Mechirahem, Arur Apam, Apam Hargu Ishu Virtsonam Mikru Shor, Arur Apam Ki Az. Right, that through their anger they killed a man, right, and with their will they uprooted a shore, right, an ox. Arur apam ki az. We usually understand that pasuk meaning as cursed is their anger, right, because it's a lot. It's very intense. It's very damaging. So but honestly, that pasuk could say could really refer to shor arur. Right, maybe he's talking about shor arur, talking about the person who was cursed. I mean, they're talking about Shechem, right? Is that Birtzonam Igru Shor Arur, or is it Arur Apam Ki Az? And finally, Vekam, the pasuk says, By Moshe Rabbeinu at the end of the Torah, by Amar Shema Moshe, Hinchat Shuchevim Ma'usecha, Vekama Mazev Vezana Acharei Elokei Nechar Haaretz. Right, literally, we assume the pasuk means that Hashem said to Moshe, "You're about to pass, you die, and this nation will get up, and they will stray after false gods." Pasuk could also mean that Hinei Shuchevim Ma'usecha Vekam. Right, you're gonna first lie with your fathers, but then you will get back up again, i.e. Tchiyas HaMesim, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is trying to kind of, you know, give Moshe some consolation. But either way, those are the five psukim that Isi Ben Yehuda was confused by. Van V'atanya, we learned in Abaisa, right? Who Yosef Ishutal, who Yosef Abadli, who Ishi Ben Yehuda, who Isi Ben Guria, right? Who Isi Ben Gamliel, who Isi Ben Mahalala, right? All these people were the same person. Right, we already had this in the Daf Yomi cycle, if you remember, right, and towards the end of the Pesach. Right, and these are all the same people. Right, Mashmo, what was he really called? Isi ben Akiva Shmo. Right, so the bottom line is, this is the same person, and you only have a suffix about five psukim. How could you have had a suffix about what the meaning of the pasuk was when it said that the wall of the Heichal was in between, right, the Kodesh and the Kodesh Kadashim? Right, how could you have a suffix as to whether it was Kodesh or Kodesh Kadashim? So Gemara says, yeah, Bidar Reis Olaka. He had a suffix about these five psukim in the Torah, but he had other sveikos, right, in Tanakh. Right, the Gemara says, with the Reis Alaka, really, he had no other sveikos. There are no other sveikos of about psukim in the Torah. And Vayika, the pasuk says, right, the Bar of Chizra asked the following shayla. Vayishlach is narei b'nei Yisrael vayalu olos k'svasim vayizbuchu zvachim shlamim parim. Right? And the pasuk says, Vayalu olos. Really, that pasuk. Let's get the rest of that pasuk here. Where's the end of that pasuk here by the Torah or? No. Yeah. Vayishlach is not Rebbe Yisrael. Vayalu olos. Vayizbuchus vachim shlamim l'Hashem parim. Right. That this is by Maimon Har Sinai, Parshas Mishpatim. That they sent out the young people of Am Yisrael. They brought korbanos, olos, and zvachim, and shlamim l'Hashem. And then the last word is parim, is cows and oxen, right? So the Gemara says, was the shlamim parim? Odilma idiv idiv parim. Was only the parim, right, the shlamim at the end? Or maybe even the olas were shlamim as well? Meaning, on which korban does the word parim at the end of the pasuk go? So the Gemara says, yeah, okay, Rav Chista Mesafkele, Isi Ben Yehuda, Pshitulei. Okay, and Echanami, Rav Chista had that shayla, but according to Isi Ben Yehuda, right, it was Pashut, right, again, either one, right, the Gemara doesn't really explain which one it was, right, but that, according to him, it was Pashut. Rashi just explains, Agav, why do we care? Obviously, we want to know what Pshat and Pasuk is, but usually when you say Mesafkele, but usually that's referring to a halacha, right? If an amora says, I'm mesupuk in terms of the pasuk, in terms of what this is coming to teach me, right? Usually, right, we say something like, my dahava hava, what was. Okay, what we're arguing over a fact of which type of animal they offered at the korban at Matan Torah, like, who cares? Right? So Rashi is a fascinating, fascinating nafkamina halacha. He says, it will affect the trup. And Rashi, if you read Rashi, all those kvasim nafka mina lip so kan as hatam be esnafta. Do you use an esnafta by the word olos? Odom, or maybe idiv idi parim. Maybe, right, that's only if you assume that the olos were not cows, that they were other animals. But if you assume that they were both cows, so there should be no esnafta. You should not pause in the middle of the pasuk, and you should read it straight on through, right, because the parim will go therefore on the entire pasuk. So that's fascinating. What we do nowadays in our tikkuns, we do have an esnachta by the word olos. So pashtus is that Isi Ben Yehuda thought that the pshat was that the cows were only going on the shlamim on the end, and not on the previous korbana. Okay. Either way, new mishnah. Let's go weiter. Hachitzona haisa profa min adarom. Now we mentioned the last mishnah. That was a machlokes. How many curtains they had in the second Beis Hamikdash? Did they have again, because they didn't have the one amma thick wall between the Kodesh Kadashim, did they have one curtain or two? This Mishnah assumes that there were two, and therefore when he says the chitzona, it's the outer curtain. It was folded back by the south, meaning it didn't reach all the way down to the south, and there was an opening on the south. Upanimis min hatzafon, And the inner curtain was folded back a little bit by the north, meaning there was a little bit of empty space by the north. And the Kohen Gadol would then enter through the south and then walk through this empty space. Ready? Again, as we pointed out, I think yesterday, he wouldn't just, you know, I used to have this image of him like kind of swiping across the parochas, just like we do in Aron Kodesh, like to open to take out the Torah. That's not what happened. Ready? He went into the entrance in the south, then he snaked along to the north, right, and then he went into once he got to the north, right, that was already, he was in the Kodesh Kodashim, he turned his face to the south, right, then Mahalech the Smolo in the Paroches, he would walk along the Paroches, right, just by the entrance, just by the Paroches at the front end of the Kodesh Kodashim, Ajumagia la Aron, until he got to the Aron. Once the Kohen Gadol got to the Aron, Nosen es Hamachta Ben Shnei Abadim, he would put this shovel of coals between the two poles of the Aron, Tzavar es Hagatores Al Gabi Gecholim, and he would pour, and we're going to see tomorrow with another exactly what the process was here, but he would pile up the Gatores on top of the coals, V'nismal Kol Abayis Kulu Ashan, and that would fill the entire room with smoke. That was the avoda of the Gatores, right, in the Kodesh Kadashim. Yatza ubalo b'derech beis kenisa. So, right, he went the same way, right, he went out the same way as he went in. U'mispal tefir k'sarav beis achito, and he would daven a very short prayer right outside, right back in the Kodesh, in the Heichal, right, and then v'lo hayamarech b'tfilaso shelo lahavis es Yisrael, right, and he didn't daven very long, because he didn't want Am Yisrael to get nervous, right, obviously, if the Kohen Gadol didn't make it out of the Kodesh Kadashim, so that was a bad sign, so he didn't want to make Am Yisrael too nervous, but, so he davened quickly and then got out of there, right, emes ma ne'adar, etc., etc. Okay, so Gemara says, b'mayaskinu, Gemara says, one second, hold on a second, you mentioned the Mishnah, right, that there are two curtains, right, that we were talking about. There was an entrance, the outer one had an entrance on the south, inner one had an entrance on the north. The Gemara says, but my Eskinon, which Beis HaMikdash are we talking about? Because in both Beis HaMikdashes, you mentioned two things, but neither of them, at no point, were both of these items in the Kodesh Kadashim. Ilei Mubignash Rishon, if you're telling me that we're talking about the first Beis HaMikdash, we have a Paroches. Right? There wasn't a Paroches, there was a one Amathek wall between the Kodesh and the Kodesh Kadashim. Iba Mikdash Sheni, but if you're talking about the second Beis HaMikdash, there were curtains, but Mihaya Aron, Mihava, there was no, but the Aron was gone. Right? They didn't have an Aron in the second Beis HaMikdash. Rav Tanya, we learned in the Brisa, Mishnigdas Aron, Nignaza Imot Sansinas Haman, Slokas Hashem and Amishka, Umaklo Shal Aron, Vishkedel Fracha, Vegargas Sheshagru Plishtim, Doron, the Lokay Israel. When the Aron was Nignaz, when it was hidden, right, it was hidden away by Yoshio, so he hid with it, the Sansinas Haman, right, the jar of Mon, that Moshe said that you should take, keep in the desert. It's Lukas Shemana Mishka, the jug of anointing oil that they used as well in the desert. Maklo Shel Aron, that's at the end of the parashas Korach, right? The stick that sprang shkedim, flowers and almonds. And finally, the fourth thing is that they took the box. They hid also the box that the Plishtim used to return the Aron. Right? The Plishtim had captured the Aron, but the Aron was giving them all sorts of tsaros, as we'll see in a second. So they return the Aron to Am Yisrael with some golden items, which we'll explain in a minute. Shnevar is a pasuk says, so those things were all nignaz. So there was no Aron, right, in the second Beis HaMikdash. Now we're going to quote the psukim here that explain exactly what we just talked about. Shnevar is a pasuk says, Uklei Azav Asher Hashivosam Lo Ashamta Shimu Ba'argaz Mitzidou Ushlachtam Osov V'holach. These golden things that the Plishtim sent as a gift with the Aron to apologize. Right? It's fascinating that after the Aron was in Plishtim in Eretz Plishtim in Gaza as it were. So the plagues that Hashem afflicted the Plishtim with were mice and hemorrhoids, and apparently the Plishtim sent golden images of both mice and hemorrhoids back to Am Yisrael with the Aron, right? And they put those things in a box, and this box is what we're talking about, that they hid this. Apparently that was very valuable or chashuv, I guess, that was accepted by, right, Am Yisrael and Kosh Baruch Hu. But either way, that was hidden with the Aron. Umi Gonzo, who hid the Aron? Yoshio Gonzo, right? Yoshio did it, right? Malach Yoshio. Ma Rosh and Gonzo, right? Why did he do that? Right? What did he see that caused him to hide the Aron away? So Rosh and Gonzo, he saw that the Pasuk says, Yoluch Hashem was Choy Vesmogacha Shevdakim Alecha. He saw a Pasuk in the Tokacha that the story goes that they were looking around for all the Avodah Zarahs that his father and his grandfather, etc., had kind of promulgated in Am Yisrael, so, and he found a Sefer Torah from back in the day, and the Sefer Torah was open to this Pasuk, and he realized that how was it open to this Pasuk? It was open to an entire column, but okay, in the Maisa Tachlis, it was open to the Tochacha, right, and he realized that the king was going to come to subjugate Am Yisrael. So Amar Vid Gonzu, right? So he got up and he hid away the Aron. Shneimar Pasuk says, "Vayomer LaLevim Amavinim LaChol Yisrael Hakadoshim Hashem Tnu Es Aron Hakadosh BeBayis Asher Bana Shlomo Ben David." Put the Aron in the house that Shlomo built. Melech Yisrael In Lachem Masa Bekasef Ata Avdu Ivdu As Hashem Elokechem V'Samo Yisrael. Right? You don't have to carry it any longer. Right? Now go serve Hakadosh Baruch Hu. Right? The Tachlis is right. The point is, as Rashi points out, the Aron was already in the Beis HaMikdash. So what he meant was you should hide it in the complex or hide it in the mountain. Pashtus is, that's where the Aron is nowadays, right? If the other Kalim that the Romans took, right, Mestama, they are in the Vatican, but the Aron, right, Pashtus is from the Gemara, and is that it is somewhere in Har HaBayis. So it's Hashem, we'll be Zocha to get it back. But either way, Tachlis is that the Beis HaMikdash, let's just finish the point, and then we'll see the question that started this. Right, Rabbi Elazar, how do you know that all those other items were hidden with the Aron? Asya is a bunch of Gzer Shavas. Asya Shama, that's for the Tzintzenes Aman. Asya Doros, that's for the Tzlochus Shel Shemen. Vyasa Mishmeres, that's for the Makel of Aron. But either way, Tachlis says you never had the curtains and the Aron in the same Beis HaMikdash. So what are we talking about in the Mishnah? So Gemara says, La'olam HaMikdash Sheni. Really, we're talking about the second Beis HaMikdash. Doesn't it say that you put it next to the, between the Aron, where the Aron was, between the poles? Umay Higil Aron, what does it mean? He came to the Aron? Makom Aron, right? The place where the Aron used to be. V'akatani Nasan V'samachto L'bein Shnei Abadim. Doesn't it say that he put the coals between the poles? No pun intended, or no rhyming intended, but didn't it say that he put it literally between the poles? How can you tell me it was just the place? So Gemara says, yeah, you're right. Ema kevein shnei abadim. You put it in the place that would have been, right? You approximate it with the place where the two poles would have been. And that's the procedure that the Kohen Gadol does. Okay, Shkoach, fellow Rabbi, we'll be right there on the Halakha Shas tomorrow. Have a great day or night, depending on where you're listening to this.